Welcome, welcome once again to another Actual Play podcast. Tonight we have session 19 to our ongoing Deadlands Tales from the Shattered Coast game. The players were Sharon, Nick, Jameis, and Richard. For those listeners who have not yet joined our community at loommagic.com/forums, we invite you to do so. The boards are a great way to get in on our games, both the serialized games and the one-shots. For now, enjoy Session 19 of Deadlands, Tales from the Shattered Coast, Part 1. All right, starting recording then. So this is Session 19 of Deadlands, Tales from the Shattered Coast. And just going across the top of the screen, starting with Sarah, what are your cards this time?
Okay. My cards are Quick Funeral. Play on any character that has died. That character returns to the game as a harrowed. Unfortunately, his manitou has control of him for the first 24 hours after he has risen.
And just remember, you play that on Nick, no one will ever tell the difference in those 24 hours.
Hidden Stash.
I'm trying to save so many people's lives. I don't understand.
Hidden Stash. Your hero scrounges up a generic type of item of your choosing, such as food and water, shelter, box of ammo, enough money, etc. Out of the frying pan. To avoid death, capture, or some other bad situation, for your hero or any ally. The situation leads to some new trouble, however, as determined by the GM. And Flesh Wound. Play to cause a wounded extra to rise immediately, unshaken and unharmed. The extra must have been wounded in the current scene.
Okay, and this is Jameis playing Luc Villeneuve, Canadian adventurer extraordinaire. And I have Arcane Inspiration, immediately recover all spent power points, which I'm sure will be playing immediately. Deadly Blow, play after damage to damage is rolled to double the total of a successful melee attack. And Turncoat. Your hero somehow convinces or bribes a minor foe to perform a small favor, such as helping the hero escape, revealing the location of a boss, etc. We happen to have one in store at the moment, don't we?
Yeah, that would be useful. Where's your boss? Well, he's in that big city that you came out of. Yeah, we already knew that, thanks. Hello, I am Richard, and I am playing Jean-Jean Lou, the... insert appropriate adjective here, martial artist. And my three cards are You Shall Not Pass. Your character gains +2 bonus to all attack and damage rolls, so long as you don't move and you're not shaken. Rise up. Play if the group is surprised. They are no longer surprised. And seize the day. Character acts as if he has drawn a joke at this combat round.
Hello, my name is Lovis, and I'm playing Gideon Stewart, the Mormon holy man. And his cards are Here Comes the Cavalry, the help arrives at from a source of the GM's choice. Let's settle this. Until jokers are played, no one may soak a wound. And Arcane Spike, a character with an arcane background, may activate a damage dealing power they may normally use. Blah, 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 blah. Not useful. It actually says that on the card. Blah, 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 blah. Not useful.
All right. And recap from last week.
Stuff happened, and we have two prisoners now.
I don't know, one and a half.
Yeah, well, and one's a werewolf.
That's the half.
All right, so we actually managed to succeed on our raid into the prison, Alcatraz.
Oh, no, not necessary success on the raid into the prison.
Yes, I thank the Lord for that one, because he made sure we succeeded.
We got into Rock. We snuck into Rock Island Prison, rescued several captives.
Including one who was missing his hands. Who was a former marshal. Who was there because he stole children from the faith.
That's the guy who was missing his hands.
Yes, his hands. Then the werewolf guy, and
Eddie, because everyone names Eddie, and he's always trouble.
Yes, Eddie is the best character. I don't care who Eddie is. Eddie is always the best character. How you doing? And then there was the guy that we got sent there to find, whose name I completely blanked on.
Sam. Someone.
Oh, no, Sam.
Hellman.
Hellman.
He was the guy who wrote the book on Bishop Grimes. Is he Bishop?
Reverend.
Sorry, yeah. I'm getting confused with Dan.
And Bill Buckner was there as well, for some reason.
Was what?
Bill Buckner was there.
Who was the head foreman of Hellstrom's railway thing. I believe he was captured at the battle where the bombs were dropped, which kicked off this whole adventure.
Maybe, who knows. We'll have to investigate. And there
I asked him and he said yes.
Maybe I wasn't paying attention during that part. I often zone out and talk. Yeah. Anyway.
And we also acquired what do they call them? Avenging Angel.
An Avenging Angel.
Who is a power conduit for power of whatever's controlling Grimes.
Yep. Well, who knows? Grimes might be the controlling power. He might be super douchebag. Given that the lady said she saved Grimes, so Grimes might be like a major demon here. That would be super awesome.
And getting shot is unable to overcome his power.
Pretty much. Well, Fast Eddie managed to get off the island pretty much without any hitches. Our plan went off exactly right. We went under the cover of darkness, managed to get out in there, save everyone that we could. Got out, due to my inclinations, we managed to also take the Avenging Angel with us. We utilized the manacles on him, and Fast Eddie turned into a werewolf in the middle of our rowboat escape. A vampire werewolf, underworld type. Anyways, and then he immediately managed to be manacled by the protagonist, the Chinaman. This is a Chinese produced movie, isn't it? Huh. This is Hong Kong spaghetti western.
Yes. Yong is being played by Jackie Chan.
Yeah. Anyways, shit, Yong's not smart enough to be Jackie Chan. Anyways,
Tony Fire would probably be a better one to be played by.
There you go.
And then he basically took Fast Eddie as his prisoner, or the protagonist took Fast Eddie as his prisoner and proceeded to beat him unconscious for quite a lot of this journey. And I took the Avenging Angel as my prisoner and determined he was a conduit, tried to heal him of his said evil ways because he was a true good Christian believer who's following a false prophet, and you know that's never a good sign. So tried to heal him, but unfortunately could not overcome the evil this time. I'm just gonna try now, pretty much.
Heal is the wrong word, I think
heal is the exact
word. I think Gideon thinks that heal is the right word.
Yeah. Alright, so yes, that was all yesterday's daring adventure. So it is morning, perhaps late afternoon of the next day, seeing as you went about doing all of this under the cover of night and spent several hours.
We had several conversations the next morning, so.
Mm-hmm. That is true. So you likely at some point there got some sleep. Mm-hmm. So once you have all reconvened again, you have some outstanding matters to take care of.
Oh, yeah. I need to heal this guy.
Which guy?
The Avenging Angel. I'm sure he had a name.
When you say heal, you and not referring to a physical injury.
Yeah, that is correct.
Well, Mr. Stewart, please don't hurt him. He seems like such a nice guy.
Sometimes a little bit of pain is useful in healing someone.
Nice, clean, cut, all-American cannibal.
Yeah, I mean, you have to... Sometimes you have to commit surgery in order to heal the deeper wound.
Medicals might help.
I don't know. We could try it. I don't know.
They cut you from your source.
Yeah, but they could prevent me from affecting him. I don't know. We will see. Because it might cut him off from everything.
You are suspecting that he might affect
the magic longer... going in. Energy going in. It might create a barrier. Well, we don't
know. We've had the medicals on him before.
Yeah. We don't know till we try. So let's go ahead and try it.
Okay. So you remove the manacles from Eddie.
Yep. Again.
And so you're going to put them on the individual. His name is Paul, by the way.
Paul, who was Saul.
So you came to a gentleman's agreement in that if Paul doesn't try to use his wily powers on you, nor try to escape, you wouldn't put a bullet in his head. So, he is.
I would like to point out that he promptly broke that agreement immediately, and nobody did anything about it.
Well, I asked him to.
Okay.
So, it was kind of,
he's more than willing. He extends his wrists out for you. You clap the manacles on. There doesn't seem to be any immediate effect.
I'm going to try to dispel on him.
Okay. Go ahead and give me the faith roll.
Oh, I'm pretty good at this. Yeah, I'm pretty good at this.
Okay. It doesn't work. Not because your faith is not mighty. Your faith is very mighty. Very strong, mighty faith. But it doesn't appear that there's anything wrong with him now.
Right. So, all right. Well, yep. Well, this is interesting. Well, let's take the manacles off, and it's kind of like, I don't know.
I'll ask him to call upon his power.
Well, obviously he can't.
Well, no. Ask him to call upon his power. Perhaps these do not affect that. The manacles might not work that way for these things. We do not know.
You can ask him. I turn around and relay the message in English.
I am okay. Speaking English.
And he goes to say a simple blessing. So will that be appropriate? Will that be
all yes. Right? Sure.
So he begins to recite a Lord's Prayer and is shocked when he is not able to summon his power. Actually, he failed that roll there. So, again, you see he's quite shaken. He repeats the prayer a few times. Second time, his forehead breaks out in sweat, and his eyes start darting around. And he's like, the Lord seems so very far from me today. What have you done?
It's the manacles. Don't worry about it.
Now note.
I slapped my forehead.
It's a very different response than you had, Gideon. When the manacles were put on you, using power or not using power, you felt it immediately that you were bereft of your connection. Apparently he only noticed when he tried to call upon his connection.
Yep. See? So, it just kind of, it doesn't erase it, obviously, because if it did, he wouldn't have power anymore. So, therefore,
does not have the power.
Right.
He would have to remove them and try again and see whether it has removed the...
Well, we had already put the manacles on him once, so...
Ah, that is true. Yes, you are. Correct.
Yep, so let's get them manacles off and try this again.
All right, so you're going to try and sever his connection again?
Yep.
Alrighty. Let's see, I rolled last time.
Damn.
11, that is... Yeah, that's not going to be enough. Now, if you want to spend all day and do it up, you know, right and proper with a prolonged ritual, take your time about it, we can just say you do it after a while. We'll take that roll there as your beginning as to how long this is going to take. So, Gideon, you're going to be here a while wrestling with whatever it is this man professes to have faith in.
I'd like to try that again.
All right. Well, I already said I'd let you. Oh, well, okay.
He wants to blow all his chips.
Yep. A 14?
So you blew two chips there, right?
No. Oh, I clicked it twice.
Yeah.
Stupid thing.
So the first thing is a 3 with a 5 with a natural 1, as we've all come to expect from Gideon. Woo!
Yep.
All right. That,
so,
yes. Sword, good enough. So the strength of the bond last time was 11, so yes, you really beat it. And you're able to sever the connection. When you do so, the mark, you can see it kind of, it glows red for a moment and begins to just flake off his skin.
Ah, excellent. All right.
Where are we?
We're on a train.
I assume we're in the jail cell.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right, because I didn't know where they were keeping him. Well, I was keeping Eddie in here. Didn't know where we were putting him in close proximity. And is he on one side of the bars and we're on the other? Or what's going on there?
That sounds reasonable, for sure.
Yeah, Gideon doesn't have to touch him for it.
Okay. I turn to Gideon. And I say, now that you have done this, do you not think he will act violently or... look at us badly in any way?
He doesn't seem to know that anything has happened.
Yep. I don't
But believe. When you...
Yeah.
Do you not think that?
No. I mean...
You have... If you were cut off from God for even a few seconds, we saw how badly you reacted.
Well, there's a difference between the way...
There
is a difference.
Right, there is a difference in the way that it is being applied, but you honestly believe there will be a different reaction from somebody who believes they are a man of God being cut off from God?
Yes, because it's a difference in the thought pattern and the way it is upon him than it is upon me. But are we having this conversation in front of him?
I'm assuming so.
Yes,
you guys
because we're right
away.
This is
yeah. So, I mean, it is the Lord.
Paul's looking a little concerned. He still doesn't know that anything's happened.
Yes, there's a difference. The Lord's presence is in me. It is a thing that is in me, no matter what I do. His was a power conduit of a...
And you do not Paul think being speaks up cut and, off from this will be in
Paul
any way
says,
different.
The Lord is omnipotent but not omnipresent, good man. He can't be everywhere at once.
We
call upon his power as he's willing to give it to us. To speak that he's with you always like that is just blasphemy.
In the Bible, he's everywhere because we live in his universe. He looks upon all of his children all of the time. He knows the numbers of feathers on a pigeon, much less how much all the hairs on our head, much less the nature of our souls, my good sir.
Yeah, as a Mormon, actually, during this time, that's not true. I don't know if you know this or not.
Nope, I don't know that.
Yeah, God is not omnipresent.
Super regretful. Oh, rewind. Yep, you're right. You completely right, my good man.
Yep,
but
it's the whole the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yep.
There are three personages. This is the Mormon belief.
Yep.
Yeah. They're actually personages, so they can't be everywhere at once.
Understood.
Well, I will, if you would pass the manacles back, I will pass them to Eddie again so that he can feel calm in himself, because he's feeling antsy when they weren't on.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I will leave you to deal with this.
Go this way. Sounds like a plan. So, Paul, as you heard, overheard me and my companion speaking of, the nature of the situation is that you were a conduit of a greater, forsaken power.
Furls his eyebrows at that and says, true till the last point.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the difference, I was one of God's chosen conduits into this world, so therefore I could perceive this as, unfortunately, you were not working for, you were chosen by one of the others. Following a false prophet, if you will. Now, my proof of this is the fact that you are now no longer able to be in touch with the power of the thing that gave you it. Now, the reason why I could do so was because it was a spell that had been placed upon you.
All right, roll me a persuasion roll. Hold on a second here. And are you going to let him test out?
Absolutely.
Okay. In which case, go ahead and take a +2 to persuasion roll.
God, dog it. I'm clicking twice. No, not. Both times. Ha ha!
All right. He once again tries to recite a blessing without his manacles on, and once again is dumbfounded when he is not able to reach the source of his power. And at first, of course, comes the recriminations where he says that you are, you're one of those foul sorcerers. You have to have done something to me. I'm taking you're not in the cell with him again, right? You're
outside.
Yeah, so he's coming up to the bars and he's looking a little frantic and he starts shaking the bars and he starts screaming, "What have you done?"
Yeah. I am going to recite a simple word of peace be upon you, brother. And cast succor on him. So the light of the Lord kind of fills him. Type of thing.
Okay.
Basically trying to prove the veracity of my story.
Well, you've already done that with the persuasion roll. It's just he has to go through a little bit of the tarot first. So you need to know everything.
Okay. Persuasion.
But yeah, for a bit there, he rails against you that you're some foul blood sacrificing sorcerer, and eventually he comes to grips that what you're saying might be true. He does appear, though, that he wasn't under any sort of mental dominion.
Right.
It looks like he firmly believed in what he was telling.
Yeah, I definitely remember you pointing that out last session. That's why I have been going through and trying to disprove that, his allegations and so on and so forth.
Okay, so we eventually come to the acceptance where I guess he accepts the words that you're saying, and then he's like, why would Grime do this? He's been such a savior, such a blessing to the people in the area. He brings us food, wealth to those who need it, places to live. He's rebuilt the area. He's such a good man.
His Have you not heard of the false prophets who walk amongst us? There are beings who find it great pleasure.
But I've seen the angels. They've come to speak with him. I've seen them with my own eyes.
And was not the greatest of the fallen the angel of light? You will know them by their deeds. And Reverend Grimes' deeds, the way he feeds people, is via other people. I have seen this with my own eyes, brother. It was a grisly sight indeed. Of his collection teams. They seek to deceive you. But he has laid out his city in a precise pattern. And I fear for this, for the sake of us all, if he continues with his foul deeds.
Alright, well, he made his roll there to keep from emptying his stomach contents when you tell him he's been eating human flesh.
Huzzahs!
Every mouthful is sinfully delicious.
So, have you seen the full nature of the city and its layout?
What do you mean? I know how the city's laid out. I'm a fair-handed drawing.
I will unlock his cell and take him over to not Red's. New place.
Reds. You're free from your temptation, brother. Come to this brothel.
Yep. The brothel will set you free. I'll take him back to the cliffside watch, and we'll have.
Right, give me a notice roll.
Oh, right. Noticing fool.
Right, good enough. The kid's pretty despondent. You don't know if it's such a good idea to leave him alone anywhere. You get the idea he probably wouldn't run, but bad things might happen.
All right. I will. Well, I have another stray I have picked up.
Huzzah. You broke it. You now have to put it all back together.
So you want him to basically lay out the city for you, what Lost Angels looks like?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's willing to do that. And your other charge has pencil and charcoal and paper and such, so he's got some supplies to work on.
Yes, and hopefully I also let Rhonda Flattery know that I'm still alive. Also that message. Huzzahs.
Because most people in town probably had no idea what you did last night, seeing as you all left under the cover of night.
Yeah, but I had told Flattery that.
All right, well, we'll pause with you for a moment. Young, you've gone back and reapplied the manacles to Eddie, or simply given them to Eddie?
He wishes to wear them. They are. But I give them to him so he can reapply them, because he wants to wear them. We've told him that they're... Well, I give them to him and see what happens.
Oh, yeah. He slides them on. And he visibly relaxes once they go back on. He says, the hunger's manageable this way. It feels like a natural hunger. Any chance of some breakfast? Some beans, maybe?
It is midday, at least.
Oh.
Well, so you have already eaten breakfast, I'm sure. But yes, I'm sure there is some.
You guys have kind of taken over this collection of jail cells here. I'm not sure what you told the...
Zane would want us to do it, because Zane's all for this. Yeah. You can ask Zane when he comes back whether he would have done by those things.
Alright, fair enough. So, what else is going on?
Sorry, is that you asking that or here? Or
no, no, you. What else? What else do you want to do?
Well, one of the things is I know that there's a dock or a port or something just down here, because this is where we got the boat from last time to take us to Xianfan.
Yeah, you had to go out of town, a ways, so it's not.
Oh, really? Right, okay. Yeah,
it's not very close, but yes, there is one.
Well, presumably there are people who ship things down there or something. So I will ask around town whether or not any of Kang's ships dock up there at all ever.
Any of Kang's ships?
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, there's going to be some Chinese laborers around. Give me a persuasion roll.
Excuse me, would you mind telling me all these all hidden secrets of things on risk of death?
Sure. A lot of the laborers that are on the dockside, of course, know of Kang, but no one has seen any of his ships or anyone wearing his colors. You get from a lot of the workers that this isn't really the sort of place that Kang would put in. This is a fairly worked dock. I mean, they've got security here. They charge dock fees here. It's not the kind of place that Kang would moor his boats.
Oh, well, that is that idea then. That is fine. I'm done, really. It's got nothing exciting to do there.
All right. Sarah, Luke, anything from you guys today?
I do go and pick up the letter that I left for if I should die as well. So they don't deliver it to my parents. So that...
Right.
Yeah, the only thing I want to do is go check in with Dr. Lewis. Also get the letter back from him.
Right. Dr. Lewis is actually just finishing up with Granville. Granville Kurtz, the young man that you've recently helped out. Doctors checked him over, gave him a clean bill of health. He wanted to hold him over for a few days just to make sure there wasn't any sort of relapse. The boy seems to be in high spirits. He's gotten his color back. He's been eating again, so he's filled out a little bit more. And you're catching him just as he's leaving Dr. Lewis's office, and he tips his hat to you. And Miss Beauchamp, he takes your hand again. I can't thank you as much for what you've done for me. I've got a lot of rebuilding to do, and I think it's going to start with bulldozing down that family home of mine.
That might make you give you a nice deep sense of
satisfaction. Yes, ma'am. It's a tattoo.
Okay. I smile and say, well, you have a great day there, Mr. Kurtz.
Well, the day is what you make of it, and I intend to make mine a good one. Thank you. And, he takes off. Lewis comes to the door and, yes, Miss Beauchamp.
Oh, Dr. Lewis, how good to see you.
Good to see you, too. I'm just about ready to pour a cup of tea. Would you like to join me?
Oh, certainly. That sounds fabulous.
And he invites you in. Of course, a nice cup of Darjeeling. How is it pronounced?
Darjeeling.
Darjeeling. There you go.
I take a cup of tea and have some nice chat with him.
All right. Anything in particular you're trying to get out of this, or just catching up with him?
No, just catching up with him.
Luke, anything with you?
Well, just spend some time with Dragon, and otherwise,
I checking hate you so much.
My Beastmaster. I tend to see if there's any sort of just news coming recently or anything to catch up on from anywhere.
All right. Well, the cat's finally decided that there's one particular corner he likes to crap in, and so he's at least doing it all in one place.
Bird is getting out some sort of resentment that he might have towards some other cats.
And he's found a nice stack of clothes of yours that he just made his home, and that is now his nest. Otherwise, getting some papers for the day. The top story, front page news, is still the Battle of Shan Fan, and apparently some sort of peace has been worked out, although there is still some reports of battling.
Hello?
Yep.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. Second page is more on some attacks that happened out in the Shattered Coastline, more pirate attacks. It's not attributed to any of the known pirate gangs.
Okay.
And the other prominent piece of news is the rail lines that apparently there has been business negotiation brokered between Lost Angels and Hellstrom Corporation to provide rail traffic of Rogue Ghost Rock from the coastline into east and west. Other than that, nothing greatly exciting.
So he would be dealing with Grimes?
Apparently, Hellstrom has brokered some sort of business arrangement with Grimes.
Not sure if they'll make things bitter or worse for us.
Which was kind of the whole reason behind the little battle that kind of got this all started in the first place, was that Grimes was resisting the connection of the rails through his city. But apparently something has been brokered there so that it is going to happen.
Didn't you follow up with Hellstrom to see what he has to say about all this? Okay.
Well, after you guys have had some things, you had some time to do
things that you've done. Quick question. Where did we put the other people who would go back? Are they under the care of the doctor?
Dr. Lewis, well, what did you do with them? I assume it's Dr. Lewis would have been your natural place to drop them off.
Yeah, I expect
In which case, part of what you're doing over there, Sarah, is also checking on Dr. Lewis's other patients.
Yeah.
Yes. Good point. You do have the handless sheriff. And...
Yeah, I didn't think we just dumped him somewhere. Hey. Off you go now. We rescued you.
Yep. That and Sam is there as well under some definite long-term care. Actually, while you're there, Sarah, this will make a good transition here, is that you hear someone calling from one of the back rooms. Dr. Lewis gets up and bids you to follow him as he picks up a stethoscope and some gloves, and he takes you to the room that Sam is in. Most of the time that Sam has been here, Lacey has pulled up a chair beside his bed and has been helping the doctor out, tending his friend and kind of sitting vigil over him. And they seem to be engaged in some conversation. It looks like Lacey is actually trying to keep Sam from getting out of bed, and Sam is being obstinate, saying, "Ah, hell, it looks worse than it feels. Ah!"
You should really, really stay in bed for a little bit.
Damn it. Seems like all I've been doing is laying on a floor or on a bed or something for you. Ah, hell of it.
Well, hey, at least this bed is, at least this bed is cushy. And people actually aren't trying to actively beat your head in.
He still looks horrible. I mean, this guy's been put through all kinds of beatings and tortures. He's got some of his strength back and apparently some of his spirit, but he still looks like he's a wreck. But he does a good effort at trying to sit himself up in bed, and eventually Lacey gives him a hand and they prop him up with some more pillows. He says, "I ain't got time to be sick." Looks around, looks at all the bandages on his body. "Who all got me out of that prison anyway? I got some things I need to impart. My friend Lacey here says that you all," and he looks over at you, Sarah. He's only one of his eyes really seems to focus. The other one's pretty swollen shut still. "You're the lady that accompanied this group of people, are you not?"
Yes, I am. Yeah,
just accompanied, that's all she did.
Very good. Can you round up your friends? I got a piece to say. Some information I found there. Lacey here tells me that you're all in the know." He touches his nose, gives you the wink. He tries to wink, except it's the eye that's swollen shut.
It's like, yes, yes, but you're going to promise me you're going to stay in bed? Because Richard's a much nicer doctor than I am. I'll tie you to the damn bed.
I'll agree to stay in this bed, and I won't give the doctor here any more trouble if you can manage. And he kind of spreads his thumb and forefinger about 3 inches wide. About yay much whiskey.
In my estimation, would whiskey be very bad for him, or could he actually have some?
Probably just fine for him.
All right. Well, Richard, I don't see any problem with that. But technically, he is your patient, not mine. So, if it's not a problem, I'll go round up my friends and bring him back a little bit of whiskey. Not too much.
And the doctor shakes his head. I suppose it won't hurt. Just monitor how much he has, Sarah.
Of course. Of course.
Don't leave him the bottle.
Oh,
Sam scowls at that.
Oh, heck no. I'll be right back, Richard.
And then as your back is turned and you're heading out the door, he yells, bring me some rolling tobacco, too.
Nope, that you can't have right now.
Right.
Okay, so I go and round up all the Scooby gang.
Okay. What about us?
Yes, I round you up. Can I find
what does
everybody?
That mean? Yeah, I'm Shaggy and the Dragon is Scooby. And
that well, makes Young the dog.
No, we've got a cat, so.
Okay, yes, seems, Sam Hellman's, awake and he wants to talk to us, so, he wants to see us all, so why don't we, go over there, but first I need to get, like, a small bottle of whiskey for him. He's going stir crazy and driving Dr. Lewis probably nuts by now.
He could order it from room service.
Question.
I believe that is okay.
He can't order it from room service.
Question, Sarah. Do you think that the good doctor could use a nurse who is not necessarily knowledgeable about the thing, but someone who perhaps would be eager to help others?
Possibly.
Given that he has a vast influx of new patients. Well, Mr. Paul, our former servant of Grimes, needs something to do. And given he is a man of faith, helping out the sick and destitute would be a activity that would keep his mind active, and as well as get him out of his funk, I believe.
I would say, can we hold off on that until you find out what Paul's actual duties were?
A guardian.
I understand that, but I would be a little hesitant to put him in charge of a patient if he was one of the people who actually actively torturing said patient.
Really, it could be good.
It could be good for him, but are you sure that this is not an act?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yonk, could you pick up can you do me a favor and pick up the, a bottle of whiskey from Red's?
I can go there and pick one up. Yes.
That would be great. Thank you. I give him some money. Just make sure that it's a, like, if he has it, split it into two or three small bottles.
I will ask for the smallest bottles they have.
Well, yeah. All right. Thank you.
All right. So,
Red's was the higher class one, wasn't it? I'm having a memory
for you. Yeah.
So, Young, you head down to Red's to procure a nice bottle of whiskey. He's got a fairly small sized one. And as you're there making the transaction, give me a notice roll.
Ooh. Yes, my eyes are inexplicably drawn towards her.
All right. It's still fairly early in the day, and of course the girls don't really go on duty until the night, so a lot of them are lounging around. Some are preparing their costumes and such, and you catch eye on a very familiar figure who seems to be a recent addition to Red's.
Awkward.
Aha. Uh-huh. And yes, I assume I recognize her. Huh?
She hasn't noticed you, and
I am at the bar, so I look around for a convenient fern, and I sort of move it so it's between my face and hers, and speak to the bartender. Excuse me, do you know her name? Do you know when she came in?
Recent acquisition. Yes. She's got that certain appeal that some of my customers like. She's not quite one of yours, is she? But she's got that exotic look to her. You just said her name was Kim. Do you know her? She's got a whole string of references up and down the coast. Could be you've seen her in a few different bars before. Said she came up this way because of the troubles in Shanghai. And you're talking to one of Red's daytime barkeeps. He's sending your face around.
I may have seen her somewhere before. You say she has not been here long? She came in with the last lot?
Yeah, sure did. She said she was looking for work, and, well, Red's has always got a position for someone of her charms.
Yong considers the idea that his parents also might have come in on that same thing, and wonders what he should do.
Yes, and this is in response to you playing your card a couple of games ago.
Yeah, no,
We all got that.
Yes. One week roll. In which case, I will grasp the whiskey bottle and run it out to the group instead.
Yep.
And tell them that something has come up, rather than just completely forgetting it and abandoning it and going over there.
So you're going to meet the group at Dr. Lewis's, which is where everyone was heading, so...
Yes, but I'm just going to say, here you are, and then run off again.
All right. I'll get back to you in just a bit. So, Young gives you a fairly nice bottle of whiskey in a small bottle. A gentleman snifter size. Hello?
Hello?
Okay, there. Okay.
Yes.
Everything got quiet for a moment.
Okay.
All right.
That might be because I'm muted.
All right, so everyone's met back at Dr. Lewis's, and Sam's there and quite eager to get his hands on
a few fingers of whiskey. Okay, Sam, I pour him a gentleman snifter, about two fingers of whiskey, no more than, like, this is enough for, I guess would this be about enough for three or four drinks, this bottle?
Of that size, maybe five.
Okay, five drinks. Okay, so here's the thing. You can have one now. Okay? Not going to give you too much because don't want you to get sick or anything. So, unfortunately, you're going to be on rations of the whiskey for a little while. But here's a glass for you. I'm going to give the rest of it to Dr. Lewis.
Dr. Lewis sticks it in his lab coat. Sam takes it and he takes it and he rolls it around in the glass, warms it up with his hands, and takes a big, long smell of it before he just takes the smallest sip of it, passes his lips, and he cracks a smile and says, never thought I'd taste this stuff again. Lady, I appreciate that you got the good stuff.
Ah, you folks are the ones that broke me out, I take it. Lacey here has been telling me some things of your exploits, and, tells me that you all are good folk. Well, good for some things, anyway. Come on in, don't stand in the doorway. I ain't got all my strength back, I can't talk very loud. Come on, gather around.
I actually see Luke now going around with Dragon perched on his shoulder.
Right. You have the cat trained to the shoulder.
Yeah. Why not?
Anyway, as Lacey here says that he's the one who sent you all after me, but Lacey and I are friends, but real reason Lacey wanted me out is what I'm carrying up here. And he thumps the side of his head. Those bastards got me right after I mailed off the second copy of my report to the Pinkertons. They intercepted the first draft, probably ate the kid I hired to carry it. He looks for a moment to see if that shocks anybody. Well, doesn't seem to.
Bruce,
I see you all have gotten kin to that then. His long pork socials, I guess you'd call them. I don't recommend eating it, no matter how hungry you get. Gets to you after a while. He has a little faraway look on his face for a while. You can almost see the screaming going on in his head. Anyway, I ain't crazy. And by the look on your faces, I guess you know that. How much does Sam here relate to you? You all folk know of a thing called the Reckoning that's going on?
How much does Sam related to us?
Sam just kind of looks. Sam has
Sam
no
was
idea.
Talking.
No, oh, I'm sorry. No, how much? Lacey has told you. Yeah.
Right, that makes more sense.
There we go.
He lost a lot of blood and has just drunk some whiskey. Can't fault him for messing up his work.
Anyway, have you heard of it? Thing called Reckoning. Pinkertons did research on this a few years back. Y'all found any information on it?
If we have, I can't remember any of it. We probably have, but I just can't remember any of it.
Alright, well, the Pinkertons figure it's somewhere a while back, something happened to the world. Magic came back into it somehow. Black magic and all the horrible things it gives life to. I think Grime is in league with it somehow. About a year ago, the cult locked up an Indian shaman in the cell next to mine. And, again, he savors a drink of his whiskey. Said his name was Seas Far Ahead. I guess he didn't see what was about to happen to him. But we'd talk when we were able, and he'd tell me tales about this reckoning and how it all started. I don't really remember most of it. There's a lot going on at the time, but I've been playing a few cards sort of a full deck for a while. About 2 years now, I guess. But he said Grime was a servitor of this reckoning, and that he couldn't be stopped or killed by ordinary means. Now, I can personally tell you that a sharpened bone fragment driven clean through his heart barely made the man wince, so I believe it. But he's got to be stopped. If he ain't, people are going to suffer for years, maybe forever, if he's truly immortal. And if it gets worse, well, Seas Far Ahead told me the Reckoning wasn't the apocalypse. It was the beginning of it. And, okay, you interrupt him there?
Yeah. A shard of bone?
Yes, sir. I don't know who the piece of bone formerly belonged to, but I got a shot at him. And that lot of good it did me.
Huh. Interesting.
Well, one makes do with what weapons they have at a time. I'm sure the poor soul the bone belonged to didn't begrudge it.
I'm reckoning he didn't. That is a hell of a thing to do.
But Grime and others like him, though, they're after something big. Something that could literally create a hell on Earth. Now, Seas Far Ahead knew how to kill Grime, but I'm afraid we didn't get that far before they took him away. I don't know what happened to him, but I know another shaman who will. She goes by the name Born in a Bowl. Evidently, these two were the founders of the Necessity Alliance, a collection of Indian survivors who have gathered up above Lion's Roar in the maze. She'll know what happened to Seas Far Ahead. Hell, she may even know how to kill Grime himself. Find that out, and we'll report it to the agency so they can handle it from here.
Well, we can't say nuke the site from orbit because we tried that and it didn't work.
Well, no, I hear that Hellstrom fellow's got some mighty powerful armaments and some bombs and such, but let me tell you, if what sees far ahead says, and what I know to be true, it wouldn't do much against them anyway. You might level Lost Angels. You're not going to cut out the cancer that way.
Do I have the drawing of Lost Angels on me?
Sure. Let's say he finished up right before you came.
All
right.
Go ahead. Well, y'all.
You give me a smarts roll, and you can add. You can add +2 for your religious learning.
Oh, let's wow. See,
I'll give it. Let me give Sam and Lacey a try here, too. Oh, Lacey.
Holy crud. Someone knows everything.
And Lacey's a wild card, too. So, wow, 6.
Well, together, we wow. Know everything. Everything is known.
Sure. It's laid out in some of your more esoteric learning. You have seen some of the symbols of the language of angels. What is that actually called? Enochian or something like that? Anyway, this is a glyph, which you don't know what it means. You just kind of know what the connotation behind it is. It's supposedly some of the words of making, the words that basically made all of creation.
Awkward.
And so it looks like the pattern of Lost Angels is kind of laid out along the lines of one of the glyphs. Fortunately, you don't know what the glyph is.
So destroying Lost Angels, not a terrible idea at this point in time. As regretful as the action would be. If it can forestall this reckoning, then it will be worth it. However, if we can eliminate the cancer at its heart, that would, of course, be preferable. Those who need not perish.
We'll see, folk. Now, we don't need the whole thing done, but we need someone to do the footwork, as it were. The agency's mighty good at the strong-arm tactics, and if you need an army that can stand up to this sort of thing, well, they've got it. But, again, they don't move without proof.
Then the proof they shall have.
So, sounds like we need to find one in a bowl.
Yep. And, sure, Van Dorn would approve of us doing this, so yeah. Right in line.
We are feeling that prerogative.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I seem to be the one who actually remembers that we were employed by them.
Hey. I don't really get paid. Perhaps.
Actually, you do.
My mother gets paid.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, however, ridding. Let's put it this way. Grimes is kind of a wart on the rear end of humanity, and if he's still actually human, so...
No, but part of our dealings with Van Dorn is to go and deal, find out what's going on with these situations, and this is exactly that.
True.
I'm reckoning Grimes was never human. If man
actually,
can...
sorry, I'm just going to interject something here. Mm-hmm. Since this is the device that I use to make you all have a reason to be together to begin with, it kind of changes the plot just a little bit. Because the Van Dorns are actually setting themselves up to be kind of the competitors of the Pinkertons.
Now, yeah.
Sam here, and Lacey, I don't believe you ever told Lacey who you were working for, did you?
We probably
actually,
did.
Cause
we
did.
Were, yeah, because yeah, we were coming to find them on behalf of Van Dorn. That was our first thing to do.
But Sam didn't have a lot of knowledge of who the Van Dorns are.
No.
So, yeah, there you go.
Right. But We they are setting up, but they are not yet the Pinkertons, like, so let's let the professionals handle the situation.
Well, the difference being is that the Van Dorns don't just kill and burn everything they run across. They think that not everything is completely evil, and it needs to be understood and not necessarily just eradicated.
How crazy are the people we're working for? Holy shit.
Well,
you're still alive, aren't you? So,
yeah. Exactly, because likely the Pinkertons would have burned you at the stake, buddy.
Yeah, well, good for them. Hey, welcome to try. It worked with Meshach, Indigo, and... Shit, I can't remember their names.
Meshach. Can't remember either.
Yeah, Meshach. Whatever. Didn't work for them. They tried.
Meshach, Sleeslack, and Abindigo, yeah.
Had weird names back then.
Shedresh.
Shedresh.
Anyway, so, whatever. And as he finishes his tale, Sam finishes his whiskey as well. Well, you know, what chases a fine whiskey like that? Be a finer cigarette. Don't suppose any of you boys have some rolling tobacco or cigarette? He looks over at you, Sarah. Never mind. Well, have you any questions for me? Feeling my strength beginning to flag a little.
Yeah, you need your rest, but if you're a good boy, I bet we can probably see about maybe getting you some tobacco. But that's going to be up to Dr. Lewis, because this is his house.
Why did Grimes keep you alive?
Now, that's a good question. I never did tell him what he wanted to know, which was exactly how much more I knew about him.
How did you prevent yourself from telling him?
Pure muleheadedness, I guess. He does, once again, look horrible. I mean, it is amazing that he's still alive with what his body sustained. Although, obviously, whoever was doing this to him did it over time, and they never did anything to him that would be life-ending, you know? A lot of hurt was put on this man, but not enough to kill him.
Yeah, remember that before you get certain nurses involved. I can't remember. Where did you say Bona Nabu was?
Well, she's part of the Necessity Alliance. Now, last I heard, they had themselves some location above, let's see, hold on a second.
Lion's Roar?
Lion's Roar. Yeah, that's in the maze. It's actually, you guys know that place. King, Warlord King has actually got an outpost very close to Lion's Roar.
That jerk raised you. He shows up everywhere.
Alright, okay.
Exact location, I can't tell you much better than that. I understand it's a mighty large parcel of land to look over.
Did you ever see one of Grimes's angels?
Yeah, he there's a visible shudder that runs through him when you say that. And there's just this really far away expression in the one eye that you can see clearly. He says, "Don't that beat all? Everyone bowing and kowtowing to that thing? I don't see how they can confuse that for an angel."
What's it appear to be?
To me? Exact damn opposite. Horns on the head, fire in the eyes. Everybody around me seems to see something different, though. And he shakes his head. Of course, I couldn't get a damn person to believe me. Well, I guess if they are the opposite number, then they are angels of sorts. But things sure didn't look holy to me.
Interesting. I would think that they would have some sort of glamour about them that we mustn't appear like that.
You should have a chat with Buckner and see if he ever saw one.
Yeah, because it might be a quality of the belief of the individuals, or it could be there is something special about you, Mr. Sam.
Well, my mother always did say I was unusually perceptive. Of course,
did
she
you,
said a lot of things about me. Most of them four-letter words.
Were you born an odd son? Perhaps out of wedlock? Or...
He looks a little offended at that and says, well, that's a little personal there, son.
Well, the children who are born out of wedlock typically have a connection to the unseen world at times. They have a nature, a gift, a true sight sometimes that's not given to others.
Well, Lacey speaks up and says, you know, that's an interesting observation there. Sam's always been one of my best reporters, as he's had a certain eye about things. He always could see through the bullshit and knew if you're double-talking him or he knew a scam at face value. Sam's always been perceptive that way. It might be something to what you're saying.
Well, it can be. It has happened. It has been known to happen before. Could happen again. So, what happens during the beginning of the end?
I don't rightly know. My chats with C's far ahead. We're only able to talk bits and pieces here and there between the love administrations that were heaped upon us. Before he got to the good stuff, he was taken away.
What about what caused this change, the coming back of the old?
Well, now, that's a story I've been tracking for a while. Has nothing to do with his grimes, fella. Actually, it has more to do with an Indian. A particular Indian brave by the name of Raven. Got himself a big mean on for us white folk, and he decided he wanted to do something about it. The lore that I've picked up says that he found some mighty old ritual, something to do with a place they call the Hunting Grounds. According to the legends, the Indian ancients were able to stem the tides of some kind of invasion many, many years ago. And to do so, they had to put themselves bodily into these hunting grounds. Well, from what I understand, this Raven here, he found a way into the hunting grounds, and he went and killed these old ancients, thereby freeing what they were holding back. All to wipe the white man off of his planet.
Raven!
I believe this is the first time you guys have actually heard of Raven.
Yep.
Yeah. Did you end up on the comic bird or no?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, no, not actually. What is it? Are you actually in the comic?
Oh. No.
Okay.
I did that one to get the cards, actually.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, that was a separate tale, and as I said, this is bits and pieces of legend and lore I've picked up from a couple of different Indian tribes in the area. Can't say if it's true or not. I know the person they call him Raven exists. He's been heading up some trouble on both sides of the divide. I believe he's even got a price on his head. So the man exists, whether or not the tales are true.
It will be an interesting thing. Let us try to find out.
All right, and since you're here, Bill Buckner is also he's housed here as well with Dr. Lewis. You guys wanted to talk to him. Lewis has got him upstairs. Buckner's doing pretty well, other than possibly he's got a broken or a fractured leg and some... Yeah, he's suffered a few beatings, but he apparently wasn't there that long.
Well, Miss Buckner. Oh. Are you doing all right, sir?
Fine, I guess.
You guess?
Well, I saw some mighty horrific things while I was over there. Grime and his men. Oh, he shakes his head. And my boss made, I understand he's got a paper on his bedside, so he's been reading today's paper. I understand my boss has made some kind of deal with that man. Points out the headlines about Hellstrom and Grime coming to some accord.
Mm-hmm.
Shakes his head. Mm-hmm. Don't know if I approve of it this time. Horrible things happened in that place. Hell, he throws the paper down. Hellstrom didn't even try to get us out of there. Of course, he probably thought we were all killed in that barrage.
So you did get captured during the battle?
Sure did. Me and six of my men.
Six? Do you know what happened to them?
Served up on the dinner plates, I'd imagine. Bastards tried to feed me one of them. I recognized the tattoo.
Oh.
Did you ever see one of Grimes's angels, Mr. Buckner?
Yeah, he gets the same kind of faraway look in his eyes. Says, yeah, I did. I guess that's why they followed the man. Beautiful creature. All light and air and ivory wings. Had a beautiful voice. Commanding, powerful.
Interesting. Well, that settles that. Well, Miss Buckner, you are, of course, welcome to stay here on our expense.
Appreciate that, but as soon as I can get out of bed and this leg will support me, I need to get back. I need to tell Hellstrom about the things I saw. Maybe he'll think better about this deal.
Is a possibility. One can only hope.
And I figure I got some back pay coming to me.
I'm reckoning you do.
I didn't get to say it before. I was a little weak and out of my mind when you found me, but thank you all. I know we didn't get off on the best of foots to begin with, but thank you.
Well, it is what it is, sir. Well. Anybody got anything else for this gentleman?
No.
I don't
know. Not I.
Oh, Miss Buckner.
Do you know a good way might be to get in touch with Hellstrom ourselves?
Well, you'll see me, of course. I was one of his foremen. If you want, what would you like? I can certainly deliver a message directly to the man if you want to see him yourself. Probably arrange something. I'm well known amongst his men. I shouldn't have any problems getting in.
No, if we wanted to have a sort of possibility, if we want to have a chat with him later about his dealings.
Well, here, let me, he grabs a scrap piece of paper and borrows a pencil and jots down a telegraph number for you, he says. You can always get a telegraph through on this line here.
Excellent. Thank you.
Matter of fact, if you all wouldn't mind pointing me out where the telegrapher's office is, I should probably send a message out before I just show up.
Indeed. I will do so.
The building where the mayor is. Yeah.
Then let's go see the marshal with his cut off hands.
Alright. Marshall is doing not so good. Lewis has him also on the second floor, but on the farthest end of the hallway. As you're getting closer, you can hear like a kind of squeaking sound as bed springs are being moved about, and a little thunk sound in a fairly rhythmic pattern. Dr. Lewis says, well, since he's come to, I was able to give him a little bit of food, but the man's clearly distressed. Lewis removes his glasses and starts to clean it a little. I believe that his mind is probably gone. I don't know if it's going to be possible to bring him back or not. He just sits there and bangs his head against the wall. I try to speak to him, but it's all gibberish that comes out. He'll eat if you put food in front of him.
Well,
we should give him some time. It's only been a day.
Well, there is a... We can see if the Lord will be willing to assist in this matter.
All right. He goes to the door. This door is designed with a little slot in it, and he pulls it aside to make sure that the person's clear of the doorway, and he pulls out a key and unlocks the door. He says, just as a precaution. You go in, and the old sheriff is sitting up in upright in his bed, and he's kind of swaying back and forth, and every so often he thunks his head against the right-hand side of the wall, which the bed is closest to, and he seems to be mumbling something to himself. His eyes got a faraway look in it.
Well, I will lean in close and try to hear what he's mumbling.
And he jumps forward and bites you.
It seems like he's some kind of limerick or children's. You really can't tell. You can't make out the words. It has a distinct rhythm to it, though, that kind of reminds you of like a nursery rhyme or perhaps a sailor's chant.
Regretful. I was going to use that as a. Basically as a method to complete it. But if I can't do that, I will still strive to lay hands on him and offer my prayers up to the Lord and see if he will respond to them.
Now, I believe that your healing can't bring back, you doesn't regenerate or do anything like that.
Let us see.
I doubt it. I don't think it's that powerful. But it might be.
The Lord can bring men back from the dead. I think he can regenerate some limbs.
Powers, Liz. This is healing?
Greater healing.
Greater healing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I have access.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
To everything. It's just really hard.
Let's see. What's greater healing. Greater healing. Veteran level.
Yeah.
Resource wounds more than 1 hour old. That's right. Your other one only. It has to be done early. The use of this power requires some power points and otherwise works exactly like healing. Can also be used to neutralize any poison, disease, or sickness. Can also heal permanent crippling injuries. This requires an arcane skill roll at -4, a d6 hours of time, and 20 power points. Only one casting is permitted per injury. The failed injury really is permanent. So on top of your other minuses, you'd be an additional -4 to actually grow his hands back.
Yeah.
All right. Neither of these things actually will do anything against the person's mind, though. This is the body.
Regretful.
But you're willing to, if you want to try and give the man his hands back.
that's a
hefty roll.
Maybe it will help him restore his mind.
So what is that -wise? It's a veteran level.
6 total.
And then -4 for the spell itself to do limbs.
Yep, and I get +2 for my conviction, so it's a total net of -6. Well, it's worth a try. Yep. And that is not going to do it. I'll try one time. Once again, for this man. Bam! Bam! The Lord! He throws a Hail Mary and catches
roll a
it.
Roll a D6.
You're going to be there a while.
Yeah.
Oh, well. That's all right.
3 hours. Yeah. So you sit down with him and basically start praying over him. And after a few minutes, the rest of you guys get the idea that this is going to take a while.
Well, it is what it is. If it takes a while, it takes a while.
Are you going to wait around, or are you guys going to go off and do other things?
I'm going to wander back over and basically look at some books or magazines that Richard might have laying around his office.
All right. He'll have the latest medical journal, of course, and probably local newspapers. And let's see, what was really big in the vanity area at the time? He wouldn't have any petty dreadfuls around, but whatever would pass for like the more metropolitan thing. But anyway, yeah, Young, as you scamper away from Dr. Lewis's, what are you doing?
First, I'm unmuting my mic, and then I'm going back to the to Red's to see what is going on there, and try and find Kim, as she's calling herself. I didn't actually create a name for her before. Was she calling herself Kim when?
No, she was not. So it's a different name than you, and she told you.
Unsurprising in her line of work.
Okay, so get over there, and I mean, you basically just ran down to Lewis's and back, so not much has changed. Although you don't immediately see Kim around anymore. Most of the ladies are having a little bit of food before the night starts. Red's there now, actually. He basically comes in a bit before the evening crowd gets there to make sure everything is up to his standards.
I believe I have spoken to him before, so I will go over and talk to him.
Well, hey now, if it wasn't the Chinaman of the hour. How you doing today, friend? He sticks his hand out to shake yours.
I will shake his hand and then bow at him as well. I wish to inquire about one of the people you have working for you here. I believe she is using the name Kim here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, nice little lady. She came in just a day or so ago looking for work. Tonight's going to be a first night. You're looking to be a first comforter, son? I can make sure that you're first on our list tonight, if that's what you want. Town owes you and your friends quite a few.
She also owes a previous debt to my family. She...
Oh, now. He just hands up. Let's not start any trouble in my establishment here. If you've got a bone to pick with the lady, let's do
no,
this
civil-like. I'm sure it was all a perfectly innocent misunderstanding. I just would like to talk to her before... Well, I would just like to talk to her.
That's perfect. Let's do this before we get some customers in here. Come on back this way. Ladies, and he pulls aside a curtain. Manager coming. And you follow him in there with you. This is it's not really so much a dressing room, but it's a place that he's set up. It's for the ladies. It's a lounge area. They've got their own sofas. They've got their own bar here and that sort of thing. And Kim is actually behind the bar now making some drinks for some of the other ladies. She seems to be instructing them on how to make proper mint julep. Now you got to roll the mint between your fingers like this. You got to release the aromatics before you put in. She throws some rocks in there. She looks up and she smiles at Red. And then she looks at you. Give me a notice roll.
Take your pulse to recognize you.
And just for a moment, your eyes lock, and then she looks past you, as if she has no idea who you are, and smile falters for just a moment before it's back on her face again. And, she comes out behind the bar with one of her mint juleps, and she hands it to Red and says, "Now tell me if this isn't much better than your bartender's doing." And, he takes a sip and, "My! That is tasty." He nods his head and says, "Well, we got a friend of the town here that'd like to speak to you. If you'd like to use my private chambers, you're more than happy to. Just make it quick, okay? We got about an hour before the first guests come in." And he takes a set of keys off of his off side there and tosses them to Kim, catches them out of the air. "Now, you be nice to this fella here. He's a very popular man in this city." "Well, soon to be city." Red bows out. And Kim kind of doesn't say anything to you and just starts walking out, and she has a key in her hand.
I follow her to the office.
Okay. She takes you upstairs and to down through a long hall and opens
this,
up this.
Is this? Well, actually, I wouldn't have known. I wouldn't be in Redstone.
Sticks the key in the lock at the end of this long hallway, opens the door, and holds it open for you.
I gesture for first. Oh, no. It is off to you.
She goes in and goes over to his desk, where he's got several decanters, and she pours out a glass for her and you. Sits down on the table. Young, Jean-Lou?
Fate brings people together again, no matter how far apart they may be.
Bad luck, I'd say. Not fate. She takes a drink of hers, hands you one.
I will drink, yes. But it's... Yes, it's not something I'm used to, so I'll try it desperately.
It's actually not very smooth low. Stuff. This is not rot gut that Red keeps in his office. Person could grow a taste for that. She says, I'd heard they'd arrested you.
Indeed. I still do not know why. Or why they thought it was me. But you cannot learn without experience.
She takes... belts back her drink and says, Young, what is it you want out of me? What do you want me to tell you? That I set you up? That I was the one that put them on your trail?
I do not know, did you? I did not think that. I was merely coming here to collect the... You asked us to open a puzzle box for you, and I did so. And you never came back to settle the debt. I was merely here to collect that. You are telling me there is more to your story than was there. Happily hear it.
She smiles at that and says, guess I do owe you for that, don't I? Well, maybe if tonight's a good one for me, I'll have your money by the end of the night. As for the other, and she looks at you, and I didn't tell them, Young. They saw that I'd entered your store. They made some assumptions. The box was stolen. Well, by me, but I was the second thief, not the first.
Ah, they stole it from your family previous, and you were merely trying to return it to its rightful place?
She smiles and says, it makes a nice tale. But no, not exactly. Young, I work for, well, did work for some people. The item was stolen from them. I was paid to track it down, but I didn't know if it was the right box, and I couldn't open it, which is why I came to your shop. I didn't know they were following me. I wouldn't have risked... And she stops for a minute and she says, no, that's a lie. I wasn't thinking of your safety. I wasn't thinking of anyone's safety, actually. I won't lie to you. She puts down a drink.
I am sure you were forced into it by whomever you were working for before.
She smiles again and she pats you on your cheek and says, don't ever lose that innocence, Young.
Well,
when she came into your store, did she ever get to meet your father or mother?
No, I was the only one in the store when she came in, which is why I had the pleasure of dealing with her. And now you are here.
Yeah.
You no longer work for the people that so maligned you before? Or is this another job for them?
No, they never got their item. I'm afraid that I was unable to discharge my duties. And now I find that I need to disappear. So now I'm Kim, working at a establishment. Hopefully just long enough to get a little money together to keep heading out east.
You were always a good dancer. Can see why you would dance here as well. People must come from wide and far to see you here.
Well, it was how I made my living early on before life happened. I understand you're quite the celebrity in this town.
That is a accident. I was traveling with some people. We saved some folks. There is nothing to
Is there anything in particular you want out of this?
I was just thinking that. I was thinking, what exactly do I want? I guess Yong will want to learn of her difficulties and see how he can help deal with them. I am certain that the town obviously owes me, and if they were to pay it to you instead, then that might be something I can help with. Or if there is something else.
Give me a persuasion roll, as she's apparently speaking honestly with you, but doesn't want to reveal what the troubles are in her life. You get more of the feeling that she doesn't want you to get involved with it.
Yes.
If the stakes for this are you want to know, then make a
roll. Yes. Yep. I think Yong would like to know what is happening. Yeah. And where's my chips? I will spend a blue chip to add a D6 to this.
Alright.
Because that was a... I probably should have re-rolled before, but never mind. 7.
Alright. Good enough. Okay, so as you continue to apply to this point, you've basically been trying, you've been making these things up in your mind and kind of telling her that, it's not your fault sort of thing, or you're trying to really not paint her as being, yes, someone who is particularly villainous. And eventually, as you're doing this tack, she just completely breaks down, and she just like, so she breaks down and she's like, she says, I wish I could see myself through your eyes, Yong. I'm not a good person. I would like to be, but I'm not. I've done some bad things, mostly for money. I've never meant to hurt anyone, but people always get hurt when the prize is material things.
There is a saying that I do not know if you've heard it before, but change the skin, wash the heart. I'm sure it is not too late to change to become that which you clearly are. It's not your fault, you are this.
And so I'm just going to fast forward a little bit. Her story is essentially that she, being a half-breed, she's not exactly welcomed everywhere, but since she was a woman and an attractive one, there were certain places that were always welcoming to her. And she found that she had a proclivity and a particular skill at acquiring things. And she became fairly well known for this. And many wealthy collectors who like to acquire various pieces of art and hide it away from other people, and so that it's their own private collection that only they can to gaze upon these things. Well, there's a long-standing game going on amongst these people. They hire people to go and acquire certain things, not legally. She got involved in all this. She accepted a contract for a particular brooch that was supposed to be in the possession of certain people in Shanfan. And she was able to track down where the box was, and believe the pendant was in there, and that's when she met up with you. However, when you opened the box for her and she saw the pendant, well, she decided to do a little double-crossing of her employer, as she knew another employer that she had worked for in the past would pay more for it. So now apparently she's in a heap of trouble for doing this, and it was all for naught anyway, because then the war kind of erupted in the Shanfan area, and she never got paid, and she doesn't have the pendant now, and her original employer is now after her, assuming that she still has it, which she does not. So that is her tale of woe, and she is trying to make her way out east where she is not as well known.
It is very sad, and a tale of horrible misunderstanding. I'm sure that we can do something to get this back.
Oh, yes, and just because you are, Richard, she is wearing a red wig for her dancing tonight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously Yong is going to offer to help in any way he can. Does she know where the brooch is? Can he help get it back that from them so that she can give it to the people?
Yep, that would be ideal, but she really has no idea. Basically, she got caught in the war that was erupting in Shanfan, and she was on one of the last trains trying to get out, where a bunch of, basically, thugs just shook everyone down and took everything of value, but let the people go alive, at least. And so it was taken.
She still had it 2 years or so after the fact, because that's approximately how long I was arrested for.
Yep.
She is not good at moving things on. Make a note. Never use her contact.
More to the point that after she had stolen it and found out that there was a better buyer, she had to get lost for a while so that she wouldn't be tracked down. But eventually someone did find out that she was in Shanfan literally right before all this went down.
But it was somebody on the trip. We were shaken down by thugs as well, who worked for, could have been the winning side. We might have an in there. Do not know. Have to ask.
She doesn't hold that much hope for that, but she does believe that if she can get together enough money to get a ticket out east where she's not as well known, and there are her description that she'll be able to start a new life out that way.
Well, we shall see which one of those two options we can do. I do not have. I don't know, actually. How much does it cost to send somebody over there? I mean, how much is she?
With money. I believe all of you guys are loaded with money right now.
I don't think.
Yeah, we are, because remember,
we sold a load of ghost rock.
Yeah.
We stole a load of ghost rock. We placed a lot of bets. We're actually pretty rolling in dough right now.
Gideon isn't. I think Gideon's running on empty because he gave us money away.
Yeah, he did give his money away. So, but that's Gideon, and he does stuff like that.
Yes, he actually cares about his stuff, people.
How much does she think she needs to set herself up in the new lifetime? Is it? Do I have enough to cover it?
Okay.
I will not venture.
If you're even wanting to venture this, I want another persuasion roll because she seems horrified that you want to do this for her after what she's perceived she has done to you. So,
to be fair, she's been an awful bitch.
No, horribly misunderstood, forced into it by circumstances, wasn't her fault. They had
to be fair.
They were holding her sick grandmother hostage. Terrible.
To be fair, Yong is severely delusional on this front. So this is
to be fair. Yong, buddy, we can get you a better woman. Holy bitch. Like, literally anyone would be a better woman.
Well, not his mother.
Like, literally anyone besides your mother would be a better woman.
If you want to go with the role that you have right there, basically it is a very just, you know, heart-wrenching scene for her where she's not able to do it. She thinks she's caused you too many problems, and she can make the money, and, you know, it's not like she hasn't done this work before, and which may allay Yong a little bit. She's just going to dance in 10 bar, nothing else.
How much does she think she needs? I mean, Yong could just say, hey, I hire you for however long it is. Yeah. I will spend a white chip just to reroll, because I always end up with like 3 or 4 chips at the end of the session that I haven't used.
You want her to stick around, right? I mean,
well, just because she says, hey, it's this much, doesn't mean I have to say, well, I've got that much.
Right, right. But I'm just saying, on a player note, her sticking around is a good thing. Right?
Well, don't know that she'll go away when I give her the money.
Yeah, but still. I mean,
like, look, I'm spending a chip. There we go.
It says Plotney will rewrite while we're
doing
it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. He's very convincing with this next line he gives. All right.
Please, I'll be your friend.
She figures that if she can earn $100, that will get her along the way. Of course, the more she can make, the better. Because once again, she's trying to stay low-key, so she's going to take, you know, low forms of transportation, not catch the eye of anyone important. So she figures in a town like this that it would probably take the better part of, you know, a month or two to earn that much money.
I suppose, actually, with the prices for food, etc., because of stuff, it might take that long. I mean, Yong goes into sneaky, sneaky planning mode and tries to think, how can I prevent from getting $100 or something? So she's always a few short. Well, I don't. Oh, that is a lot of money. I do not know. I have to see how far the generosity of the town extends.
Yeah, and again, she'll say, Yong, you don't need to do anything for me. I've done enough to make your life horrible.
Pleasure. Yes, it has been.
And there's a knock on the door. And Sir Ed says, Kim, we got about 15 minutes. And she'll turn to you and says, Yong, I've got to go out and earn that money tonight. But it was a pleasure seeing you again.
I will probably see you later tonight. I am reasonably regular dining here. I will
she
think on your problem.
Might think slightly less of you when you say that.
I said dining.
What do you think he is, Canadian?
Yes. I will think on this and see how I may be able to help.
All right. Well, she finishes her drink and she does her best to fix the makeup and such. Gives you a little kiss on the way out.
He all thinks of running to all the stores in town and saying, hey, if you get an exotic hop even here, charge her 5 times the price you would charge anybody else. And she has to stand. Well, Yong will go back to our rooms to see if the others are there then and see what they learned.
Sure, magically the party reconvenes.
Well, Yong obviously looks deep in thought. And if she had lipstick and left it on my cheek, it's still there.
Yep.
Luke nods knowingly.
Did he finally avails himself of the town's generosity. About time.
Yeah. Did we ever want to fully check out where the? I'm just thinking the other thing we've got the where the map point goes to, because we kind of got that other X. Now that we're in a place where we can actually look around properly. Did we follow up on that or not?
You followed up on it enough to know that what island it is, and it is also out in Shattered Coast. Actually, I don't think it's very far from.
Mindful.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's convenient. I wonder if that happens to be the same place where the Indian is. Oh, I'm sure that's not true.
Going to consult some notes real quick here.
I would suspect not. It would just be...
I don't know. If you were going to be a powerful Indian and you had this powerful source of power to keep an eye on, you might be very close to it.
It is impossible.
I mean, I'm thinking that Shanfan, did the Indians there know about the power source? Yeah, I can't remember or not.
They did not mention it to us.
I'm pretty sure we brought it up to them. We were asking, what the hell is the deal with this power source?
But they did not really.
Yeah, it's the Isle of Ghost Tears. That's actually in Shanfan Bay.
Oh, that's miles away.
What?
Oh, we're not going back there again.
Wow.
So they've got two sources of power right next to each other? Dangerous.
Nobody discovered them for centuries, so it's not that dangerous. What's the map called? California. There we go. Yes, okay, they are quite a distance away. Well. And sorry, why are we talking about Indians?
Blah, 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 blah.
Ah.
Oh, you're back. All right. It's been several hours. It's been decent hours since the last hit. Oh, no.
Well, sometimes regrowing a man's hands. I'm sorry that I can't just wave a wand and regrow a man's hands, and the Lord requires a little bit of sacrifice from me.
Now, Dr. Lewis has seen you work such miracles before. This is little over the top, though, and leaves him a little frightened. And he does tell you in passing that you've done a great thing there, son. But I think, luckily, we're the only ones who saw the old sheriff come in this way. Otherwise, he shakes his head, there's a lot of people that would not be so understanding of such things. Also, while you are able to regrow his hands, you're not able to restore his shattered mind.
Right.
Although Dr. Lewis thinks that with care and time, that may come about.
And the fact that he has his hands again might possibly help with his recovery.
Yeah, right now, just make sure that he can fling that feces far and wide.
Well, I was going to say, he's going to actually write all over the walls now.
Yes.
Well, he's going to look at his hands, and he's going to go, I have hands. So all of that time that I thought I didn't have hands, that was when I was crazy, and you'll shatter his mind further. Well done, well done.
That's not how that works. That's not how that works at all.
Kind of sick, hopefully. Twisted mind must I have had to imagine having my hands cut off.
Alright, well, this is actually a good place for a break.
That sounds good.
Cool. Music in this podcast is provided by Kevin MacLeod. More of his excellent music can be found at incompetech.com. We have several ways that you can comment on our show. You can send email to steamsteelmurder@gmail.com. You can join our public forums at bluemagic.com/forums. That's bluemagic, BLUMAGIK.com. Leave us feedback on iTunes or visit obsidianportal.com and do a search for our title and find our campaign blog and more information about the show.